bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We'll start the day off with a little bit of prayer, as we do every hour. We'll trust this hour to the Mother of God. His Excellency Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione will be joining us in a moment. But first, let's turn to the Mother of God. I want to pray in thanksgiving for you and for, I want to pray for your intentions. I want to pray for our country. I want to pray for our elected officials. I want to pray for our church and our church leaders. And I just ask for God's mercy. Let's pray for protection of our country from degeneration, disaster, and war. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come. Before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. May the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Do me a favor, keep the phones ringing if you could at 877-291-0123. We are in our spring pledge drive. I'd love it. I'm grateful for that. But I do want to talk to you about something right now, which I think is important. You know, we have a lot of these Catholic politicians, right? And this is not a, please, I hate talking politics during a pledge drive because people always misinterpret what I say. I'm not waving a Republican flag. I'm not waving a Democratic flag. I want to wave my Catholic flag right now. I'm putting on my Catholic tee. All right, saying established 33 AD right now. That's where I am. And I want to talk about the faith. I want to talk about the Eucharist, which we've been talking about today. We have the Pew Research. They've come out and they reported in a congressional quarterly that 77 Catholic Democrats in the House and 14 Catholic Democrats in the Senate. And you got these Catholics in there, right? And you wonder where they are. You take a look at the positions in Congress on issues like abortion, taxpayer funding of abortion, religious liberty, and it puts them all at odds with the church, doesn't it? And again, I'm not throwing stones here. I've asked you to pray for our elected officials. I don't care what party they're in. They're our brothers. They're our sisters. But they're also affecting you and your children and your children's children and the future of this country. I get very frustrated, and I'm honest with you. I don't pull punches. You know who I am. You know my foibles, and you know how I stand on a lot of issues. I get frustrated with Catholic politicians who claim to be Catholic, but they do not practice the faith in a meaningful way. I mean, I take a look at House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the Senate Democrat Whip Richard Durbin, Joe Biden. All these people, they hold themselves to be practicing Catholics. But if you think about it, all three work against the teachings of the church. Yeah, and that to me is just so sad. It's tragic. You know, President Biden right now follows the same position on abortion initially, you know, sculpted by the late New York Governor Mario Cuomo. He's the father, by the way, of the present governor, Andrew Cuomo, that he says, oh, you know, I'm a Catholic. I have my rosary, but I personally oppose abortion. I don't want to impose those views. I can't do that. You know, I won't do that. You know, no other issue except abortion do Democratic Catholic politicians silo themselves and not apparently their personal views to public policy. I read a great piece by Brian Birch. He was on Newsmax, and he addressed the scandal of politicians who support abortion while claiming that they are devout Catholics, along with the abortion stand of Biden and other Catholic politicians, not just Joe Biden. It's all these politicians who are Catholic, Republican and Democrat. You know, there are conflict with, you know, church. They're in conflict with church taxpayer funding of abortion, which Biden formerly opposed, but now he supports. And what he called the coercion of conscience of people of faith. I mean, he specifically pointed to these court battles, Brian, in this interview that he did over the Catholic group known as the Little Sisters of the Poor, which we talked about a lot of time. Many, many times with you. You know, in the reach of the federal government to coerce people of faith like the Little Sisters to carry health insurance that directly conflicts with their faith. Why should the Little Sisters of the Poor have to provide funding, support for contraception and abortion? Does that make any sense to you? It doesn't. Shame on these Catholic politicians. Of the 14 Democratic senators who are Catholic, only West Virginia's Joe Manchin is still considered pro-life. That's it. God bless you, Joe. God bless you. Let's pray for Joe, that he can be a witness to the rest of those senators there. You know, that the Holy Spirit will descend upon these men and women and convert their hearts. The last pro-life Democrat U.S. representative is a congressman who's been on my program many times named Dan Lipinski from Illinois. He was defeated in the primary last year because of his pro-life stand. That was the key issue. And they, you know, the culture of death did not want to see him in, and they lobbied against it. So when I saw that His Excellency, Archbishop Cordy de Leone, was writing a pastoral letter, I thought I have to get him on the program. And this just came out. This is a huge and very important story. And we want to get this posted for you. I want you to read it. I want you to get it in the hands of your politicians. Let them read it. Pass this along. He wrote this beautiful pastoral letter. It came out on the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And it focuses on the unborn. It focuses on communion and Catholics in public life. I know a lot of people, many of you say, oh, we're so frustrated with our bishops. Well, you know what? Pray for them first and foremost. But secondly, let's applaud them when they do. When they do lead it, I got to say, His Excellency, Archbishop Cordy de Leone, is doing just that. He wrote this beautiful document, and it emphasizes that those who reject the teaching of the church on the sanctity of human life, those who do not seek to live in accordance with that teaching, then they shouldn't receive the Eucharist. I mean, it is clear. We had His Excellency Bishop Aprocchio, and he's been very eloquent on this as well. But you know, the document, by the way, if you want to do a quick look up for it, it is, it's called Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You. It's a pastoral letter on the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion and Catholics in public life. And he joins me today. Your Excellency, thank you for your leadership. And thank you for your time. And thank you for this beautiful document you just issued.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's a delight. So, I was just sharing a little bit about some of the Catholic politicians. Pew did a research that's out there. A number of people profess their Catholic faith. They don't always adhere to the teachings. We're all fallen people, and I call people to pray for them. But so often we see real public dissent, you know, when it comes to the culture of death and the legislation that's passed and the funding that goes to some of these policies. What inspired you to write this document? I know it was rooted in love and in pastoral care, but give me a little background on the document and maybe share with those who are listening, you know, what's in it.
Yes, well, I knew I had to issue some kind of teaching on this at some point, and the situation seems to be becoming more urgent. But I've realized for quite some time the need to educate our people on this because if people don't understand correctly what the Eucharist is and what it means to receive Holy Communion, they will have no idea why some people should not receive. So we need a lot of catechesis. So that's what inspired the idea of this letter. It's really a teaching document to help people understand these principles. And I wanted to lay this out as objectively as possible, what church teaching is. But beginning with the reality of abortion, this is the other thing that the advocates for abortion have succeeded in doing, is deflecting attention from the brutal evil that it really is. So I had to explain the science behind it, the biology, really, and principles and law, and how the church has a perspective on that. And then the real question is someone who's cooperating in some way or another, are they in a situation of mortal sin? Because this is the teaching, right? Worthiness to receive communion, one must be in a state of grace. And if they're guilty of mortal sin, then they must seek forgiveness in the sacrament and sacramental absolution in order to be once again properly disposed to Holy Communion. This is a timeless church teaching that at one time everyone understood. The question is, are they in mortal sin or not? So that's why I had to explain these principles of cooperation and evil, formal and material, and immediate and remote, and so forth. So because sometimes there's there's our remote connections that are justify some kind of cooperation, but they have to be very remote. And, of course, the more serious the evil, the more remote that cooperation must be in order to justify any kind of cooperation.
Yeah.
And then the worthiness principle, and then the special role of Catholics in public life. I wanted this to be as inclusive as possible. We have prominent Catholics in all walks of public life, and they have a big influence on society, people's attitudes and values, and so they're in a position to affect that. And if they're outspoken dissenting on this, they're doing a lot of harm because they're misleading Catholics and they're perpetrating a very, very serious evil.
What's the reaction to your pastoral letter, Ben? I know it was just released on May 1st, but what's the buzz been? What's the reaction been?
The only reactions I've received personally have all been positive, including from some fellow bishops and lay faithful and priests. So I imagine there are some people upset about it, but those reactions haven't come to me.
Yeah. How do you respond? Because quite often when the issue of the Eucharist comes up, a lot of people say, hey, look, our Lord's true presence in the Eucharist should not be used as a political weapon. And sometimes people view it as that. Others will argue, look, we don't know the heart of Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Durbin or anybody. We don't know that they've been to confession that morning and are going to receive the Eucharist. But at the same time, Your Excellency, on the other side of that argument, I think of Canon 15 of the Church, which is very clear in its teaching. It says those who obstinately persist in manifest grave sin, they're not to be admitted to Holy Communion. So as a bishop, as a shepherd, how do you balance those two sides of the coin, if you will?
Well, it's really balanced by Canon 916, which speaks about someone who is in a situation of grave sin, of mortal sin, should not go to communion. So Canon 916 really puts the responsibility where it belongs on the shoulders of the one in that situation, which is the point of my pastoral letter, too. I wanted to show where the burden of responsibility lies. If there's a situation of scandal and it's very public, then sometimes Canon 915 has to be applied. But it's a matter of, again, of integrity, which I mentioned in the letter. If receiving Holy Communion means we accept all the teachings of the Church, we're striving to live accordingly, and there's at the time we're receiving, there's nothing seriously out of line with the Church's teachings, then we can receive worthily in the sense that it's only Christ who makes us worthy. But this is just a basic Catholic principle that it's not really a matter of politicizing the Eucharist, and that's why I have a supplementary document, the Question and Answer document. When I mentioned that, I wanted to wait until after the election to publish this, specifically to make clear that it's not a matter of politics. It's a grave moral question. It's a complex question. All big questions have complexities to them. There's the political side, there's the moral side, there's the societal impact side, there's the law, there are all kinds of aspects to it. But at the root of it is a moral question, and that's where we faith leaders have to speak. We have to speak to the morality of it.
Yeah, it really is. My guest today is Excellency Archbishop Cordileone from San Francisco. If you want to join us, you'll have to call now because I only have him for about five more minutes. So if you want to get in, and he will take a call or two, the number's 888-914-9149. You can call right now, and we'll maybe just grab one or two calls. 888-914-9149, and we're taking a look at His Excellency's new document examining abortion and communion in a new pastoral letter that was just issued. And we're going to link over to this for you as well. You'll find it on our Twitter page, at Drew Mariani Show. Jake's going to put it up. It's called Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You, a Pastoral Letter on the Human Dignity of the Unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in Public Life. And I'm glad, Your Excellency, as I said, that you did this. I think it's needed. And I think, you know, so often people need to be held to a higher standard. I said earlier before you were on, I was just talking about these politicians. They're my brothers. They're my sisters, you know, and it's not about your title or what position you hold or how much money's in your bank. You know, it's about eternal life. And I'm concerned about their souls. And I can't judge, but what I can do is pray. And I pray for you and I pray for many of our bishops that you'll have the ability to lead and to ultimately, to teach, because that's your mission. And hopefully we'll see a turnabout in some of these politicians. Have things gotten worse over the years? Where are you? Where do you see this right now? I know the church is seeing an exodus. There's, you know, the rise of the NONESs in the church, those who don't really believe in organized religion. But just in terms of the public square, in terms of politicians in general, have things always been this way, or do you think that we're in a special time?
I think we're in a special time. But I think in times like this is when the church needs to speak out clearly with a strong moral voice. I think we feel sort of beaten up a lot, but the only way to reclaim credibility is to speak the truth when it's inconvenient to do so. That's what gets people's attention, and that's what instills respect. So society will eventually figure out how brutally evil abortion is.
Yeah.
And we are the ones who have been consistently speaking out against it. We have to speak even louder now as the society becomes more and more secularized, and our opponents in this debate are successful in deflecting attention from what it is.
But, amen to that.
So we have to speak out all the more. That's how we regain credibility, not by trying to appease.
Well, let's do this. I know time is really limited with you today, and we have an amended schedule. I want to go to Irene in Oak Lawn, Illinois. She read your letter. Irene, good afternoon.
I just wanted to tell you, Archbishop, I came upon your letter on Saturday, the day it was released, and I listened to the audio version of it, and I absolutely loved it. And I posted the link on my Facebook page and talked about how everyone needs to read this or hear this. I sent it through the email to friends, too. I'm so glad that you took the initiative to finally say what all of the bishops should have been saying all along, and I thank you for that. And I pray for you all the time.
All right.
Well, thank you, Irene. I'm so deeply grateful for that, and thank you for spreading the teaching in the letter. I think, again, we need a massive re-education effort on the part of our Catholic people. You're helping us to do that. Thank you so much.
Amen. We'll go to Michelle in Southern California. Michelle, hi. You're on the air with His Excellency. Go right ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just called to say how grateful I am for what you are doing and speaking out, especially here in California. I'm in Orange County, and sometimes it seems like things are going very, very quickly. And so just appreciate it and know that I pray for you every day at Mass, and the other politicians are there as well. But I am praying for you, and thank you so much for keeping up the good fight and for being there for us.
Well, thank you so much, Michelle. I think there's a lot more support for what is right out there from what I hear from people. So I think when we're divided or we're isolated from each other, it can become discouraging. But so we need to combine our efforts and see there is a lot of support for what is right. And you brought up a good point. We really need to pray for our politicians as well. They have a hard job as well, and we hope they can see the light on the issues that are where they're opposing what is good, and that they, on other issues, they continue to make that they make wise decisions for the good of our society. They need our prayers as well.
Well, let me take one final call, then I'll get some final thoughts from Your Excellency as well. We're talking to Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone, if you're just joining us. He wrote a pastoral letter called "Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You." It's a pastoral letter on human dignity, the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. I think you should read it. It's an easy read. It's inspiring. I think you'll be glad you did. We'll post it for you. We'll go to Judy listening in Rhode Island. Hi, Judy. Good afternoon.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just am so happy and grateful that the bishop has come out with this letter. I haven't read it yet. But it is so good that people will know, because, you know, they set an example for other Catholics, and it's wrong what they're doing. So I'm so glad that he was able to do this, and I wish that others will do the same and bring it to their attention and, you know, the teachings of the Church. They're Catholic, and they need to stand by the teachings and set an example. But I just wanted to thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Judy. And Your Excellency, if people want to read this as well, they can go to inthewomb.org, right? Inthewomb.org? Am I correct in that?
Yes. Just go to inthewomb.org, and they can access the past letter and other resources.
Well, I'm so grateful for your time and for your witness. When I have more time, I'd love to have you back when we can really take a lot of calls and talk about this in greater detail and drive a little bit deeper. But let me give you the platform of some final thoughts as we wrap up the conversation today.
As we know, our society is deeply wounded, especially over this issue. And all the lives lost is bad enough. I mean, it's hard to imagine anything more horrendous, but there is. It's all the lives that are broken over this. As I mentioned in the introduction of the pastoral letter, we in pastoral ministry hear women say, I didn't want to go through with it, but I felt like I had no choice. Like, women have told to me that they were lied in the clinic. They wanted to change their mind, and they were told it's just a lump of cells. So it's like the epitome of dehumanization. We really need healing. So I'm so grateful to our Catholic people and others as well who have agencies, organizations to help women in crisis pregnancies, who help women to heal, who have gone through the abortion experience, and all others in that network. You know, their fathers often need healing as well, who wanted their child to be brought into the world. So let us continue to advocate for life, be a good witness to life, and support those organizations that are doing so much good to care for women in crisis, to help help people heal from the abortion experience. That shows that we really mean what we say and that we are who we are.
Amen to that. Your Excellency, thank you for what you're doing. We'll be praying for you, okay? And look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
That's His Excellency, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione, and please go to the website. It's inthewomb.org, inthewomb.org. You can learn more there. If I have time, maybe tomorrow or the days ahead, I'll unpack some of this for you. It's really well worth the read, and gosh, it makes me so proud of him and our bishops. Hey, I'm joined right now by my colleague, Mike Kendall. He is, I used to call him Chief Programming Officer. I think he's Executive Vice President of Programming right now. And Mike, it's always good to have you with us. What a wonderful witness to the faith. And I think that's something people wanted to hear, something they wanted to read and see. And I'm so glad that Relevant could give that platform.
Yeah, it's an example of what we do all the time. You know, we don't give voice to the bishops. They can speak for themselves. And so we give them a platform. You know how often, Drew, mainstream media will take a letter like that and then put their own narrative to it and try to explain from their perspective what a bishop might be trying to say? We not only link you to the letter, but we asked Archbishop Cordiglione to come on the air and speak with us. In fact, I think he's going to be on again in a couple of hours so that, you know, he can speak for himself. That's what Relevant Radio does. We give a platform to our bishops, and we give a platform for the truth. That's why last hour we had over 300 people call us.
Wow.
During our spring, our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive at 877-291-0123, folks like Robert gave a $500 pledge. He's from Lamont, Illinois. Joe in Warrington, Pennsylvania, $1 a day pledge. And Colette in Goodyear, Arizona. Thank you, Colette. Your $240 will help promote the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. We want to hear from 300 more people who believe in the teachings of the Church and stand by Archbishop Cordiglione. Call us now at 877-291-0123.
877-291-0123. You know, so often people get angry at the Church and they get angry at our bishops. Say a prayer for him and for all of our bishops. And maybe make a pledge, give a gift right now so that we can continue to give this platform to our bishops. Look, they're on the right side of the issue. I mean, we always have to approach this with love and with charity. And our principal concern has got to be the salvation of the souls of those who've really lost their way. And I'm so glad that Relevant Radio can play a small role in that. And it's not just Relevant. We're in this together. And I say that all the time. You and I, through our support, through our prayers, through our witness to the faith, we're there to support the bishops. We're there to support the church. We're there to spread the teachings of Jesus Christ. And there's times where we've got to dig deep and give. This is one of those times we also have to sacrifice for the truth. Sometimes we have to sacrifice for the faith. And if you could sacrifice financially right now, I'll tell you what, I know God's going to bless it. We could use you right now. There is a line or two open. Be great to have you, Philip. We're waiting for your phone call. You can dial in right now, 888-914-9149. We have a special premium today as well, a beautiful cross that will fit right in the palm of your hand as you pray. It's made of olive wood. Mike, I don't know how many we have left. I know there was only a couple hundred here, but I know they've been going pretty quickly, so I hope people will take advantage of that.
They're going quickly, and I'll also tell you the response to the Archbishop has been fantastic. Almost every single line is lit right now, so we encourage you to donate online at relevantradio.com. A number of reasons to do that right now. For the next 31 minutes, we're matching every pledge that comes in, so your $100 pledge becomes $200 instantly. And if you can donate at that $20 a month donation or a one-time gift of $240, we'll not only double that, but today and today only, we're going to send you that olive wood hand cross from the Holy Land. And I am told there's only a couple of hundred of those left. When they're gone, they're gone. We will not be offering this to you tomorrow. So make that call now, 877-291-0123, or log on to relevantradio.com.
Donations are tax deductible. It's a great opportunity for you to make a difference. And thank you. I really want to thank you for doing that. Please go right now. Call 877-291-0123 online at relevantradio.com or use your mobile app. And above all, leave us your prayer intentions. If you have something you want us to pray for, we'll do that as well. So we're here for you. Can you be there for us? Make the call.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us and for supporting us above all. I'm so humbled and so grateful for your charity. I know sometimes I search for words, but I was just looking at the call screen and lines are filled here. Relevant Radio is, its mission is to bring Christ to the world through the media. And I had received, when I wrote the book on Divine Mercy, petitions from people in South Africa, in Germany, in South Korea, Japan, Canada, Mexico, all over the world, down in Brazil, people wanting copies of the book. It just showed you the global reach of what Relevant Radio does. And what we do is bring truth. That's what this is about. It's about bringing the truth of our faith to others. And I'm so happy with Archbishop Cordiglione and our bishops. I know a lot of people are upset with the church. They feel it should be more vocal. Let's pray for our bishops. Let's pray when they stand up for the true presence. I was sharing a little bit earlier in the show about what St. Faustina saw regarding our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I'll share a story with you that I've always loved because Jesus is truly present. I know sometimes we take this for granted. You know, we go in there. He told St. Faustina, people come and they receive him as if though he were a dead object. A dead object. Did you ever think about that? A dead object. And I was always moved by that, because I think, you know, there are times maybe we go up and we receive the Lord very indifferently. And that's really, it's quite a tragedy. I remember one time, John Paul II, he took a trip to the United States. And, you know, if you think, I don't know if the Lord's really present, I'll share with you a story that I love. This took place back in October of 1995. And John Paul was scheduled to greet seminarians at St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore. And at the very last moment, you know, the Pope told a security team that after greeting the seminarians, that he just wants to go into a side chapel and pray. John Paul was a man of prayer, as you know. Father Rocky, who was with me last week, shared the story, I think, when the Persian War began, or one of the wars was underway, golf? I forget the one it was. You know, his secretary came in and said, look, I've got to tell you something very urgently. And the Holy Father says, it can wait, right? And he goes, no, but this is really critical. It can wait. Yeah, the Holy Father put his hand on the word that he was praying, and the person stepped out of the room, and the Holy Father went back to prayer, finished his prayer, and then he came back and said, okay, what is it? The Holy Father put prayer first. He always did. And you could see that, you know, in so many of those photos that capture the depth of his mysticism, of his deep connection to God in prayer. So he's there visiting the seminarians, and he wants to pray. You know, he would pray and fast before he ordained priests as well. So I bet he went into this chapel to pray for these men he was about to meet. So the security team, of course, they sprang into action ahead of the Pope. They swept this building, and they paid special attention to the chapel where the Blessed Sacrament was, because that's where the Pope was going to visit, right? So to do this, they used dogs. And the dogs were trained to locate anybody who'd be hiding, you know, locate people who may be buried under the rubble of a collapsed building or an earthquake. They had this ability to track human beings. So the dogs and their handlers, they swept through the halls. They went into the offices. They went into the classrooms. And then as they approached the chapel, when they went into the chapel, they went up and down the aisles and past the pews. But as they got to the tabernacle, the dogs suddenly, their behavior changed, unlike anything the handlers had ever seen. Suddenly, they sniffed, they whined, they pointed, they refused to leave until their handlers called them away. Now, it's difficult to say exactly what the dogs were responding to if you don't believe in the true presence. But there are countless stories of animals sensing things that humans do not. And I think it's due to their heightened physical senses. You know, maybe it's due to some supernatural sense that humans have lost. I don't know. In this case, the dogs were convinced that they found a person. They found a person in this little small box that was used to reserve the Blessed Sacrament. And I think we're forgetful. I think so often we take for granted. Sometimes we don't contemplate or ponder the great mysteries of our faith. And I think God allows us to have these reminders. Why is it so important? You know, why is it so important? You know, that the Archbishop did what he did. You know, to call out these dissident politicians who profane the Blessed Sacrament. I think we have to really thank them. We have to really pray for them. We have to pray for the conversion of our leaders. I think the Lord shows us many times his true presence in the Blessed Sacrament. He does it many, many times. I mean, look, I had a friend of mine who was a partier. I'll tell you a real quick story. He loved weed. He'd smoke it all the time. I was young. I just got out of college. I was starting my career. And he was a partier, right? Slept a lot of different women, lived a wild life. Did his drugs, never went to church. He was a Catholic. He'd fallen away from the faith. Hadn't been there for years, since I don't know how long. But one day, he's sitting home, and he went to his dealer. He got his bag of weed, and he was rolling a fat doobie, a big joint, right? And he's getting ready to light this thing up, and he happened to have the TV on, and he's listening to some Protestant preacher. And God can use anybody, right? So this preacher turns to the camera, turns right. It looks like he's looking right in the living room of my friend. And he says to this guy, he says, you with the drugs in your lap, put it down. The Lord does not want you taking those. He wants you free from that. And he began to preach to this guy, began to talk to this guy. Now, was the Holy Spirit on the preacher? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. It just so happened that as my friend was watching this, his heart got convicted. And he says, it was as though that man, I was the only person in the universe. He was speaking directly to me. So he got up. He took this bag of weed he just bought, and he went into his bathroom, and he flushed it down the toilet, right? He says, I'm done. That's it. The Lord spoke to me, right? So he goes to bed that night. It was Saturday night. Next morning is Sunday, and his alarm goes off. He loved to work out. He's going to go to the gym. He wakes up in the morning. He thought to himself, what the did I just do? All right? Am I out of my mind? It's crazy. Why, I must not have been right last night. Why would I do that? You know how much money I just wasted? So he's back to his old way, right? He gets in his car. He's heading to the gym. And on the way to the gym, he passes a church, and he feels this overwhelming compulsion to go into this church, feels this overwhelming desire to go in and to pray. And he parks right in front of the church, and he gets out. He goes, well, I'll just make a quick visit. I don't know. I haven't been in a church in a long time. I'll just jump in the back of it real quick and look around. Then I'll go work out. So he parks his car, runs up the front steps, goes to the church, and Mass is underway. Well, he slips into the back pew, and he finds himself almost lost in time, he says. It's like I wasn't conscious of time. I was just immersed in the liturgy, the music, the words, the preaching, the liturgy, the Eucharist, all of it. It just, I was lost. And then people got out of the pews. Before you knew it, they were going up to receive the Eucharist. Now, what he did was not right. So I'm not endorsing this. He got out of his pew, and I'm sure he was in mortal sin. He went up to receive the Eucharist, and he was the last person in line. Priest says, Body of Christ, and he was a former Catholic. He says, well, he still was a Catholic, I guess, but not practicing. And he says, Amen. He sticks out his tongue. The priest puts the host on his tongue. And when he takes the host, he says, began to bleed. He says, Drew, I didn't know what to do. He's like, whatever was on my tongue, it began to exude a fluid. It tasted, it felt like blood. I stuck my tongue out. The priest looked at it, and the priest looked me right in the eye, and he said, consume. And that's what I did. He says, I swallowed the host. That was a radical turning point in this man's life. A radical turning point in his life. He left that church. He went to confession. He amended his ways. And just to short circuit the story, or not to go into any more detail of it, he would go on to enter the seminary and become a Roman Catholic priest. That's the transforming power of the Eucharist. That's our Lord's true presence in the Eucharist. Just as the dogs sensed a true presence, just as St. Faustina saw rays coming from the Eucharist, and the Lord spoke to her of how people approach him as though he's a dead object. They approach him with ingratitude. Just as this man who was entrenched in sin, who was the prodigal son away from his father's house, came and encountered the Lord physically and has now dedicated his life to him. I mean, that's how serious. That's why this is the source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist, right? That's why in the early church it was called the Great Secret. That's why many were willing to go to their death over the Eucharist. You know, and that's why I want to commend the bishop for calling out our politicians for it. You know, and I invite you today, and today I had no intention of speaking as much as I did about the Eucharist today, but maybe the Lord's talking to you. Maybe it's been a long time since you have been away from his true presence. Maybe you've been away from church. Maybe it was the pandemic that got you derailed. Maybe it was a bad experience. I invite you personally to come back. I'm telling you, the church is a different place. It is warm and it's loving. Your encounter will be very different. I invite you to go to the sacrament. Maybe you can't forgive yourself because of something you did. Christ is present, not just in the Eucharist, but in that sacrament of mercy. And I invite you to start anew, all right? And that's what we're here to do at Relevant. We're here to, as I said, our mission is to bring Christ to the world through the media. That's what we're here to do. So I invite you today, if you could, to pray for our politicians, to pray for our bishops, to pray for those wayward souls, to pray that God, in his mercy, will bless you and bless me and bless especially this apostolate. If you could do this right now, you just take a short pause. If you could help, if you can make sure that the souls who need to hear what they're hearing today, that in the days ahead, that soul who stumbles upon Relevant Radio will be touched by something that the Holy Spirit is saying to them, maybe drawing them back, maybe saving their marriage, maybe saving the child from the abortion, maybe having that person decide not to harm themselves. You can make a huge difference right now. And I mean this personally. I would love it if you would call right now, 877-291-0123. 877 2910123, and support an apostolate that brings Christ to souls every day, that speaks the truth of the Eucharist and the sacraments that we have, that gives a platform to our bishops, that is there to educate and to inspire. Would you call right now, 877-291-0123, or go online to relevantradio.com, make your pledge online, or use your mobile app. You know, if you want to see the fruit of Relevant Radio and what we do, listen to this.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Here's another miracle moment on Relevant Radio.
I think his heart's deeply moved when we come together every afternoon like this and implore his mercy for whatever the intention is. If you're struggling financially, if you're going through a difficult time in your relationship, if the doctor gave you a bad diagnosis, if the car just broke down, you know, whatever the problem may be, really, God will permit suffering, but he brings good out of it. I mean, this person wrote to me, Drew, I just want to thank you for praying for my intentions, especially for good test results for my sister-in-law. She had tested positive for cancer of the breast, was in stage one, and the reports came back, it's not in a lymph node. She is happy. She credits this to prayer. I want to thank you for your prayers and for all on Relevant Radio who prayed for her. Thank you for interceding for us.
You've just heard another Relevant Radio miracle moment. We're listener-supported. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app.
Well, at 5 o'clock Central Time, early this morning, John Harper turned on his microphone and asked you to give hope for the first time this week during our Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive. And I'm here to tell you that's exactly what you've been doing. You're giving us so much hope. We want to thank everyone that's called in today and made their pledge. June in Phoenix, Arizona, thank you. Gerard in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania. We heard from Bloomington, Minnesota. We've heard from Bloomington, Indiana. North, south, east, and west. Listeners all around the country are stepping up and making a difference with their tax-deductible financial support of Relevant Radio. Here it is, day one. We need $2.7 million before the end of the week. Mike Kendall here along with Drew Mariani. And Drew, I really want to have a big finish of this hour because we have an incentive to give right now. If you call right now, we have our partnership challenge underway, which means that your pledge will be doubled instantly if you call 877-291-0123 or log on to relevantradio.com or make that pledge on your app. You can do it on your app. But every pledge, Drew, is being matched 100% for the next 13 minutes.
You know what I love about that, Mike, is the fact that we have a match right now. I mean, we may not have it tomorrow. We may not have it Wednesday. We don't have them every day. And I want to thank those partners that stand up and say, look, God's blessed us. We want to match whatever comes in. So let's take advantage of that. The more that we receive in this hour, the more matching funds we're going to, well, they'll be matched dollar for dollar. We got to take advantage. If we don't use it, then you kind of lose it in some respect. So let's have your money go twice as far. Why not double your gift? If you can give 25, it becomes 50. 500 becomes 1,000. Whatever you can do, but call right now, 877-291-0123. And I've got a great level for you to come in at. That's $20 a month. All right, if you can come in that level, there's a beautiful olive wood cross that is available today and today only. Numbers are dwindling. Ask about that and know that you'll be blessed with something that you can not only use personally or maybe give to somebody else. Call 877-291-0123.
Yeah, and the thing about that premium is we're not going to offer that to you tomorrow. This is the only day you can take advantage of that $20 a month donation. You get that premium. What a wonderful connection to Jerusalem. When you hold this olive wood hand cross in your hand, you'll know that it is from the Holy Land, and you'll be supporting Christians in the Holy Land who made this olive wood hand cross. Consider donating at $20 a month, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. If you give hope, our partners are going to give you more by matching you 100%. Just 11 minutes to go this hour. Don't lose the opportunity. Call now. Have your donation matched 100% during our spring Give Hope Pledge Drive.
The Drew Mariani Show, live
at 888-914-9149.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, take advantage of that cross. I'll tell you what, it's extraordinary, and it's a great opportunity for you to help Relevant. I mean, that's really the bottom line here. Hey, thanks for the phones. Phones look great. There's room for you always at 877-291-0123, or callrelevantradio.com. You know, call the 877-291-0123 number, or use the mobile app is what I'm trying to say. It's been kind of a long day here. Hey, I want to share one final story with you, if I could, because today has been a day really that has been dedicated to the Eucharist, in part because of Archbishop Cordiglione's beautiful pastoral letter, and it's something that I think is important for all of us. You know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, who is a great evangelist, a man who is now, there's already been a miracle, there's been a resurrection story associated with his intercession of a little child that is, you know, leading to his beatification, and soon I'm sure he'll be raised to the altars when another miracle comes through for the canonization. But he loved the Eucharist, and he inspired millions of people all over the world. And you know, no matter where he went, he'd spend time in adoration. And he'd give these talks to seminarians, and the seminarians were awed by him because he was a big TV personality and very eloquent. And he'd say, if you want sparks to fly from the podium, he says, then spend an hour before our blessed Lord every day. You know, he'd tell them to do that adoration, and he always did it. So some seminarian or somebody once asked him, priest or don, whoever it was, they said, who inspired you? What inspired you to do this? And he said, look, it's not a pope. It wasn't a cardinal. It wasn't a bishop. It wasn't a priest. It wasn't a nun. You know who inspired me to have this deep Eucharistic love? It was an 11-year-old Chinese girl. And he explained that when the communists, they took over China, they imprisoned a priest in his own rectory near the church. And after being locked up in his own house, the priest looked out the window and he was horrified. He saw these communists enter the church. And once inside, they desecrated it. They went to the sanctuary. They broke the tabernacle open. And these hateful acts of desecration, they threw the ciborium, which hold the hosts, on the floor. And the priest knew exactly how many hosts he had in that ciborium. He had 32 because he had consecrated them. And when they left, either they didn't notice or didn't pay attention, but a small girl snuck in the church and would pray. She saw everything. And she returned night after night, slipping past the guards at the rectory, and she'd enter the church, and she'd make a holy hour in reparation for the desecration of the Blessed Sacrament. And after her holy hour, she went into the sanctuary and, kneeling down, bent over and received the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And every night she would do this. And every night for 32 nights, on the last night, she accidentally made a noise and awoke up a guard that was sleeping nearby. He was at his post. And from his bedroom window, the priest, he could only watch in horror what happened next. It was a heart-rending scene. The girl tried to run. She tried to get away, but the guard caught up with her, and he beat her to death with the butt of his rifle. It was brutal. I won't go into detail. But when Bishop Sheen heard the story of this girl's sacrifice, her love for the Eucharist, he was so inspired that he promised he would make a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament every day for the rest of his life. And he was not only faithful to that promise, but he took every opportunity to spread that devotion. We don't know the name of the 11-year-old Chinese girl, but her heroic act of going to church every night to adore our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, it's a powerful testimony against the attitude I think so many Catholics have today, who show nothing but callousness and indifference towards the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. Will you make a pledge right now in gratitude for our Lord's true presence and perhaps in reparation for the indifference so many have? Call now, 877-291-0123.
There's still time. If you want to have your donation matched 100%, it's not too late. 5 minutes left in the hour, and I would love to see 100 people step up and go to their computer right now and log on to relevantradio.com and make your pledge. It only takes about 90 seconds to complete your pledge. You'll be a part of the count, and we'll tally it up here at the end of the hour. But let's make this a big finish. Every dollar is being matched right now. It's Mike Kendall and Drew Mariani. We're giving hope all week long with our spring pledge drive. You can also try to call. We have a couple lines open at 877-291-0123. We match the phone calls as well. So let's hear from 100 people in 5 minutes. We're going to try to do that here, Drew. Wow. I know it may sound crazy, but, you know, things, we can do it. We've seen hours like that. So please give us a call. Hey, Drew, I heard from Alex in Arizona, who gave us a $30 gift today because he calls Relevant Radio his Station of the Saints. Wow. He says we're the only radio station in Arizona that he's ever heard that ever even mentions the saints of our church. He loves the stories of the saints, how we're devoted to them. Great point, Alex. Let's keep a spot on the dial for the saints of our church, because without Relevant Radio, where would they find a home? 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
And we're all part of that communion of saints, aren't we? No doubt. And I know that those who've gone before us intercede for us. St. Faustina promised the same thing, that her mission would only begin. St. Therese of Lisieux and so many others have made very similar promises. Hey, let's build this communion of saints here. We have a big work, a big task, a big mission before all of us. Our mission, our commission, Jesus Christ said, was to make disciples of all nations. How are you doing it? Today's a great way to fulfill that request of the Lord. When you call 877-291-0123, you are bringing Christ to others. You do not know how the Holy Spirit is going to work through these airwaves. You don't know what they're going to hear or when they're going to hear it or how they're going to be drawn closer to Christ. That's what your gift does. It allows us to stay on the air. Look, we're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and we're only here because of generous people like you. Will you help? We only have a couple minutes left. Mike wants 100 calls. I'd love to see 100 people join me. Come on, be one of those at 877-291-0123, or go on right now to the internet and relevantradio.com. You can make your pledge, or you can use your mobile app. Any way you give, it all makes a difference, and we need you today. 877-291-0123.
We can do it. I have full confidence that we can do this. Speaking of saints, I learned this by listening to Relevant Radio, that today we are remembering Saints Philip and James, and I didn't know until I listened to Relevant Radio that Saint Philip is the patron saint of cooks, bakers, and pastry chefs. Do we have any cooks or bakers out there? Call now, 877-291-0123. And Saint James is a patron saint of pharmacists. So if anybody in that field, maybe you work for a pharmaceutical company, 877-291-0123. Let's honor our saints. But today is a really special day. We have a unique premium for that $240 level. That's just $20 a month. You can do that. Think about how much you spend on coffee every month, or what's that Netflix subscription cost you each month? Yeah. Isn't $20 a month worth throwing at Relevant Radio so we can support the truth of the church 24 hours a day on your radio dial, coast to coast? Here's the number, 877-291-0123. More than half of those unique premiums are now gone. We're giving an olive wood hand cross from the Holy Land for every donation that we get, $240 or more. That's a $20 a month donation. This hand cross was made in Jerusalem. It's shaped to fit the palm of your hand, and it's directly imported from Jerusalem with natural olive wood oil. It's going to darken over time with the oils in your hand as you continue to pray with it. Drew, I picture people, you know, I have a lot of neighbors that just kind of walk the neighborhood. They walk the block a couple times around. It would fit perfectly on your morning walk. It'd be something that you can keep as a reminder as you walk and pray, if that's a part of your daily life. Call now at $20 a month. It's yours, but only today. 877-291-0123.
Donations are tax deductible. To Mike's point, I think it's great. I walk around my rosary all the time. It's in my hand. It's in my pocket. It's a sacramental. Get that cross blessed. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're depressed. Hold on that cross and say that prayer. Jesus, I trust in you. Call now. Still time to get in. 877-291-0123. Cale Clark is coming up. Stay with him. He'll be right along.